Good morning, Harmony Baptist Church family. In your pajamas or however you are right now, those in the car. If you're in the car watching and listening, you'll see me say this about 20 seconds after you hear it. So a little delay there. What a weird time to be alive. You know, this pandemic will be something, and we don't normally think about it, but we live history all the time, and this pandemic will be something that's taught about and talked about for, you know, generations. Something that people study. And I don't believe that God doesn't want us as the church to merely survive this pandemic. I believe that He wants us to thrive. Thrive on the fact that God has given us everything that we need to make it through. Thrive on the fact that He has given us more time with our families and our loved ones. That's just a precious time. I've seen people camping and, you know, pulling their hair out over teaching math that they teach nowadays. But they're spending time with their families. It's almost as if God intended it to be that way. And He did. And I want us also to thrive on the fact that He's given us more time to grow in our relationship with Jesus. This isn't just a time to binge watch Netflix specials, especially not some of them that are out there right now. This is a time for you to invest in your spiritual growth, to thrive in the midst of chaos. And we can complain and fuss about the restrictions around us, or we can thrive in spite of them. Is it the best way for us to gather as we're doing right now? But it's the best way right now. We can choose to complain or we can choose to thrive. And the church was made to thrive. We weren't made to simply exist. We're made to thrive. And I was so encouraged this week. One of our young men that God is working so powerfully in, Justin Cooper, he sent me a text on Friday and told me, he's like, hey, you remember that 2020 and 2020. So we're looking for 2020 gospel conversations in 2020. He says, through the Abundant Life Challenge. And if you don't know what that is, that's this Abundant Life Challenge where we've said, hey, we want you to record your testimony and how God is now working in your life to bring you through the hardships of life, maybe even in this moment, and then post that on your social media, that through those recordings, through those testimonies, through this Abundant Life Challenge, there's been over 3,700 views of the separate videos. 3,700 views. And that may not be individual people, but it's not far off. And that's not just our church. That's the beautiful thing that I see going on right now. Not only is our church thriving, and Ben mentioned some of the ways that we're on missions, the church is thriving. Two other churches have had members do this challenge. So HBC members, step up your game. But the church is moving. The church is made for this. The flock of Jesus is designed to thrive in hard times, in difficult places, because we have a good shepherd that knows exactly what we need, knows where our needs can be met, and will not let anything stop us from reaching our destination. He will get us there. And while our social distancing restrictions are tough, this moral desert that we live in America, where sin is celebrated and false teachers run rampant, that is a far tougher environment for the church to thrive in. And we don't know much about deserts in South Carolina. Like, it's hot and humid, but we get plenty of rain. But when Jesus speaks of these shepherds that we're going to hear about today, when He speaks to the Israelites, He knows all about these deserts, and He knows how difficult it is to survive and to thrive in the Judean desert. The desert is just a hard place to thrive. There's little water, there's little grass, and if you're a shepherd, there are a lot of other shepherds trying to go after those very few resources. And there are dangers, right? There's lions and wolves and thieves and cliffs and poisonous water supplies. In a desert, a shepherd has to be fully committed to their flock in order for them to thrive and reproduce. Likewise, as we walk through this moral desert in America, where there are few things that are holy and of God, where there is plenty of things that lead us away from Him, we had better know and love a loving and committed shepherd. And we need a good shepherd because there are moral dangers that lurk around every corner of our culture. Television shows, movies, music, social media, all of it has been poisoned by the sin of this world, corrupted to where you can't look at it without being overwhelmed by it. And if we don't have a good shepherd to call us away from the sinful waters of those things, we'll fall in. How many times have you just gone on to something and then an hour later you're immersed in it? You've scrolled through every feed, seen all these videos that have nothing good to offer you. Every day people are living this life, and if we don't have the good shepherd to say, hey, come here, or grab us with this shepherd's crook, then we're just lost. Just the other night, they had this, like, I was so excited. Disney said, hey, we're going to have this family sing-along. And I can't sing, but I know a lot of Disney songs. And so I was excited. My kids don't know them, which I've failed at some point, or they don't know Lion King songs. But there's this young lady that comes on, and she's dressed so provocatively, I had to check and make sure I had the right channel on. Like, I got my four-year-old daughter, and this is what she's supposed to emulate, the world says. And I know it's not politically correct to make mention of what somebody's wearing, but sin is everywhere. And it's just another way to see that. And it's becoming more and more prevalent. The number of people addicted to pornography and drugs climbs year after year. And you look at what culture does, and they don't diminish these things. They promote it. Like, there are adult places you can go right now that are giving away memberships for free. That is the degradation of our society, that is open and available anytime you want it. Drugs have become cheaper and cheaper. And they lead people further and further away. And these people that are addicted to these things are growing every year. And if you are, get help. Listen to the voice of the shepherd as he calls you away. And you look around, anything goes in sexuality, and there seems to be no end to where that kind of depravity will take us. And we're sheep. That's what the Bible calls a sheep. And part of that's because we'll follow another sheep anywhere that it goes, even if it's to a place of destruction. And some people scoff at being compared to a sheep, but that just means you're a stubborn sheep or a goat. The Bible calls us sheep, refers to us as sheep, compares us to sheep. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Each one of us will wander on these paths of sin if we don't have somebody to say, come back. If we don't have a voice to call us back. And the reality of this is that this corruption, the corruption of our society, has started impacting our children at younger and younger ages. The access to technology has led elementary kids to knowledge that I've heard from their mouths about things that are sinful, that are far beyond their ability to comprehend. They know what it is, but they can't understand the implications of it. And I love technology. I mean, look at what it's provided for us right now. We can gather on social media and through YouTube and the FM transmission to our parking lot, but the danger is always there. And if you don't believe your child's in danger online, listen to this statistic. 2 children are trafficked every minute in this world. Every minute, 2 children are sold into some sort of slavery. And in America, much of that happens because of this unlimited access to technology that people allow their kids, and in their innocence, the kids have no idea what's going on. They might think they're just going to meet some person that's going to help them to have a good time that night, and they end up far, far away from anything they ever knew. Every day this happens. And parents, if you're not governing your child's technology use, if they have unlimited access to technology, you are not protecting them. You're just not. They need you to limit them. That is your God-given responsibility to put hedges in place for them so that they can be safe. But the truth is, even with the tightest of firewalls, the strictest of oversight, there is only so much we can do to protect ourselves and our children. So for our protection, for the protection of our little lambs, with danger lurking everywhere, we need a good shepherd. And thanks be to God, we have one. We have one. Turn with me this morning to John chapter 10, verses 11 through 30. It'll be on the screen in the English Standard Version. And we've been walking through the I am statements of Jesus. The statements that Jesus makes as his claim to deity and as the true Son of God who would save the world through his death and resurrection. And Jesus, in this passage, he makes a definitive statement. He says, I am the good shepherd. So let's read this passage together and see what it means to be a sheep in the flock of our good shepherd. Beginning in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, this feast, the dedication, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Let us pray. Holy Lord, it is my deepest hope today that we see that all those listening, that all those that will hear, understand the truth of this word, that we need a good shepherd, and you have provided one in Jesus. A shepherd that loves us, that cares for us, that will never leave us or forsake us. Father, I pray that those that have been called by this voice already, Father, that are wandering, that have strayed away from the past, that today they may come back to the flock. Pray that they see the glory of this good shepherd, that like sheep that hear their shepherd's voice in the desert as he calls them to still waters, that they will run today, that we will rejoice that our shepherd is calling us. And he's calling us for our good, to be with him and enjoy everything that comes because we are with him. Father, I am thankful that I am a sheep in your flock. And I pray all those that hear today are as well. In Jesus' name, amen. We celebrated Easter last week. We celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we celebrated that he said, "It is finished." And he meant it. He meant death and sin were finished for all that put their faith in him, for all that are belonging to his flock. He died so we could be his. And I want us to think back to that, to his death and his burial, his death on that cross, his torture and torment, because I want us to understand what Jesus is doing when he compares himself to a shepherd, because there's danger in being a shepherd. In John 10, he compares himself to the shepherd because he knew the danger that existing. He knew those that he talked to would understand the dangers that come in being a shepherd. And he knew that danger awaited him on behalf of his sheep. I want you to become a shepherd with me for just a moment. So say you're in the middle of a desert, alone, with a rod and a staff, maybe a sling and some stones, and that's all you have. You stand in the midst with very little resources around you, maybe a few other flocks around you. You stand in the middle of this desert, and that's all you have to defend your flock of 20 to 100 sheep from lions and wolves and bears. Oh my. And you know, as you stand there, that these sheep are depending on you to keep them safe. You look at them and they're just milling around as you've led them to this pasture. And you look out and you see wolves beginning to circle your flock, snarling and slipping closer and closer. What would you do? What would you do? How would you respond in that moment? It wouldn't be a great feeling, right? But a good shepherd puts himself between those wolves and those sheep. At whatever cost, he puts himself between them. Listen to how David described being a shepherd in 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35. He says, this is when he's about to fight Goliath. He's talking to Saul and he says, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." This man said that he fought so furiously for his flock that he grabbed a lion or a bear by the beard and killed him with a rod. What? It doesn't seem possible. But it proves this truth. Shepherding is not for the weak at heart. It is for those that are willing to do anything to protect their flock. It is dangerous. And we see that in Jesus in this chapter here. We see even in this encounter as he's standing before these Pharisees, these wolves in sheep clothing that are supposed to be shepherding the flock of Jesus, that are of God, that had just cast out a blind man because he had been healed and said that Jesus was from God. They had thrown out one of their sheep. And here we see Jesus as he's standing and talking to these Pharisees, defending this man, defending him against those that were supposed to be for him but sought to destroy him. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And he looks at these men and he calls them hired hands. He says this about hired hands. He says, hired hands, they see danger coming. They see that wolf that we talked about. They see that pack of wolves. And because they don't own the sheep, because they have no love for the sheep, they abandon the sheep in the time of their greatest need. When they could do something to stand in the gap, they don't. They run away. And the blind man that Jesus healed in chapter 9 was one of the flock of Israel. He was one of these sheep. And those Pharisees should have cared for him. They should have loved him because he was precious to God. But no, they didn't even know the man. They had no idea about his disability. They had to draw his parents in to come and say, "Tell us about this man. How long has he been blind?" They didn't pay him any attention until Jesus healed him and challenged their authority. And then, instead of rejoicing, they cast him away. He said, "Be gone." No worthy shepherd would ever cast his sheep away. And as you look around your world today, as we look around, there are many things, many people that offer protection in this world. They look like shepherds, they sound like shepherds, but they are only hired hands. And I can't help but think of our politicians on each side in each party as I hear this. Most don't have a clue as to the needs of their flock. The citizens of their state, they don't have a clue. And now, in this time, in this great debacle, this great pandemic, when we need them most, they're quiet. They're on vacation. They're making decisions day in and day out, not for our good, but for their bank accounts and their aspirations or their egos. They have no real love for their citizens. And what that tells us, what I hope you see in that is why we should not put our faith in any man or woman. There is no one in this world worth following except Jesus. Even good men and women set out with these great intentions can be corrupted by the power that these positions hold. And we certainly do our civic duties, and we abide by the laws of the land, but more than that, we look beyond the hired hands to the good shepherd. He doesn't serve a party, he serves his sheep. He serves you. He alone would fight for us to the death. And we can thank God that we are believers, that we are sheep in the flock of Jesus, because this was his plan. And Jesus, knowing the danger that awaited him, our good shepherd, he went and he died willingly. He says in verses 11, John chapter 10, verses 11, 15, 17, and 18, I lay down my life for my sheep. And if you're in his flock today, it's because Jesus died to buy his sheep. He died to buy your pardon. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul says this, for you were bought with a price. The cost of joining the flock of God was paid at the cross. Jesus wasn't just speaking metaphorically when he said he was the good shepherd and the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He literally laid down his life. And just as David fought lions and bears risking death at every encounter, Jesus fought death and sin, took it all upon himself on the cross so that not one lamb of his would be lost. Not one. We indeed have a good shepherd. And this was not by circumstance. This was not some accident. This was him laying down his life. He did it willingly. Our good shepherd, he wasn't at the mercy of his enemies. The Jews played right into his hands. Satan might have rejoiced as he was put on the cross. But what Satan was doing was falling right into the plan of God before the foundation of the world that would defeat him once and for all. That brought about his destruction, not Jesus's. And Jesus says in John 10, 17 and 18, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Read through the Gospels. See how many times, even after this passage, that the Pharisees would take up stones to stone him or go to arrest him, and yet he just went right through them. He went away from them. It wasn't his time. When they arrested him in the garden, and Peter cut off the guard's ear. He healed him. He went willingly because he knew that that was the time for him to go. He laid down his life. His beating, his death was not a surprise to him. He endured it willingly for his sheep. Our good shepherd died in our place to save us from the dangers of sin and death. And then he arose to shepherd us once more. He lives. He is the good shepherd. He leads his flock to where they need to be. And he's not driving his sheep from behind with a whip. He's out in front leading the way, calling out with that precious voice, "Come to me, my beloved flock." He rose and we will rise. He ascended and we will ascend. He said to his disciples in John 14, beginning in verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am going you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." I hope you get this. I hope you see what he says in saying, "I am the good shepherd." I hope that you see the beauty of this good shepherd, that he would go to these great lengths and great love for you. For you. The Israelites thought they're all it was. We may think that we're just happy with what we have going on right here in the midst of us, but Jesus says in verse 16 that he has sheep that are not of this fold. He must call them in. He must bring them in too. Today you may be that sheep as you listen, and I hope that you've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd already. I hope that the voice of the Good Shepherd is pulling at your heart right now to come into his flock, and that you listen to his voice and obey. Because being in the flock of Jesus has benefits. There are benefits to being in this flock, and I see three in this passage: protection, plenty, and proximity. And these three benefits are desperately needed. Each one of us, everybody here today, everybody online, desperately need these benefits in the moral desert of America. As attitudes about what is right and wrong begin to turn away from the existence of absolute truth, and definitely the existence of absolute truth in God's Word, as sin becomes more and more acceptable to the masses, as danger lurks at every corner of our lives, as diseases and natural disasters ravage our world, we need a good shepherd to protect us. And we have him. We have him in Jesus. W.J. read from Psalm 23 as our invocation this morning. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful scripture. This song of David, as he writes and he remembers what it's like to be a shepherd himself and sees what it is for God to be his shepherd. And it is a shame that we only recite this at funerals, because this is for us every day. Psalm 23 is David's anticipation of the coming of the Good Shepherd. David knows that God provides everything he needs, but his word here points to what Jesus means when he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And we see the protection of the Lord Jesus so clearly in Psalm 23:4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So you understand what he's talking about. A shepherd's rod is a wooden club about 2 to 4 feet long that shepherds use to strike any animals or thieves that attempted to attack their sheep. Maybe a really stubborn sheep every once in a while. This instrument is what David would use to kill the lion or the bear. Can you imagine fighting a lion or a bear with what is a small baseball bat? That is the rod. And the staff is a shepherd's tool with its curved end, is used to reach out and grab a sheep and redirect it when it's headed towards danger or away from the flock to wander. Both of these are tools of protection. And Jesus too protects us. His word which is His voice, is the rod and the staff He uses to protect each and every one of us. Back in John 10, 3 and 4, He says that His sheep know His voice, and they follow Him, and He leads them. As you read God's precious Word, and the Holy Spirit teaches you to follow the commandments that Jesus left, we see within this His hands of protection, the guardrails that He sets in our lives, guarding us away, guiding us away from the power of sin, convicting us. Oh, how we hate it, but how we need it. Convicting us and delivering us from sins that cling so closely to us. The addictions and the strongholds of sin in our lives. Convicting us and delivering us from those to the path of light. We hide this Word in our hearts so that we may not sin against Him, so that we can obey and follow the Good Shepherd. Reading this Word is not simply reading words on a page. This is how Jesus protects us in this world. It gives us the things that we ought to follow and the things that we ought not do. Every day we need to be invested in seeing how God wants to protect us that day, praying that He will speak to us, that we will hear His voice in our Word. But that's not all. It's when this current age is ended, when Christ returns, His protection will extend to us forever and ever. And even now, that eternity has begun at the day of your salvation. Really, the day that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said it. He will carry you there. He says it, John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Same thing in Psalm 23, 6. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, if you come into this flock, you have eternal security. He gives us eternal life, and nothing can ever separate you from Him. You're His forever. And that alone would be good enough, right? That protection, to know that we are God's forever, that would be good enough. But our Good Shepherd, He does even more. Our Good Shepherd, He's bringing us to this pasture that never fades, to grass that never withers, to still waters that never run dry. That's that second benefit that He gives us. When you're in His flock, He leads you to the land of plenty. In a desert, grass and still waters are hard to come by, and sheep have to have still waters to drink. So He leads them there. They're hard to come by. And in this moral desert that you and I live in, holy and righteous things are also hard to come by. It is hard to live a godly life in the midst of our society. And yet God provides. Our Good Shepherd provides. He gives us exactly what we need. He meets every need that we have. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Jesus provides everything we need in the here and now and in eternity. If you're a part of this local flock at Harmony Baptist, He's given you a church family to love and support you when times are tough. You might try to do it on your own, but you'll always do it better when you do it together. And I know times are tough right now. And if you're struggling, we're here for you. If you have a need, we're here to meet it. We're in this together. We're all sheep following the same shepherd. Jesus put us together to share what we have so that none will lack. One of our core values is authentic community. We're a real people with real problems, worshiping a real Savior, following the good shepherd together, and we're better together. A lone sheep is just waiting to be eaten. Together there's protection, especially under the watchful eye of the shepherd. But you and I, the thing we need to learn, especially in our moral desert, is to be satisfied in what He provides. He provides every need, not every want. Not every want. A can of beans is better than a grub worm. And most of us are not surviving on a can of beans. He gave you a job, be thankful for the job, not looking for the next best thing or constantly complaining about the place that He's put you. He provided you a house, love it, take care of it, rejoice in it. Find satisfaction that you have a roof over your head. Psalm 23 says, He leads us beside still waters and makes us lie down in green pastures. That is all sheep need. That's it. He provides every need. And anything that Jesus provides for us is more than we deserve. More than we deserve. We were His enemies, set against Him. Our lives hated what He stood for. He died on a cross to call us His own, to bring us into His flock. Everything He gives us above that is bonus. We don't deserve it. And the reality is, you trust in Him and you walk in obedience to His voice, and He'll provide for you. He'll meet every need. And I know that's hard to see right now. People have been laid off. People are struggling. You struggled before and you're like, where are you at, God? You're here. You're still going. You may not be able to see that His provisions are plentiful. You may not feel protected. And if you don't, if you're there, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, am I walking with Jesus? Am I a part of His flock? Or have I wandered away? Has sin led you away from the Lord? So many people ask, why? Why, God? Why is this happening in my life? The answer may be that you need to repent, that you need to fall on your face, because your sin has led you away from the flock. Your sin has led you away from the shepherd. If your life is full of danger, worry, anxiety, and discontent, in all likelihood you have wandered from the flock, or you have never been a part of it. Today may be a day where you need to repent and join the flock following the Good Shepherd. Because the final benefit you'll see today is proximity. When Jesus is your Good Shepherd, He is with you wherever you go. Matthew 28:20 says, Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." If sin leads you away from the flock, Jesus will come find you. He says, no one will snatch you out of His hand. Out of His hand. That's where you are. In the hands of the Good Shepherd. That is the closeness with God and His flock. He knows you. The Creator of all things, who said, let there be light. Who keeps everything running across hundreds of thousands of universes, every star in the sky, every planet revolving. He knows you. He knows you by name. He says in chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Our proximity to Jesus, our closeness to Him, is like that of the relationship and the closeness of the Father and Jesus. That's how He wants to know you. That's how He wants you to know Him. Because He says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. And this unity, this proximity, this closeness, that's what we have with Jesus. When you are in Him, walking in obedience, He is right there. We follow Him and we are one. United in love,
united in spirit forever and ever. There's never a tear that has fallen from the eye of one of his sheep that he did not know. Never a hurt. And this is a closeness that does not exist in this world. Jesus knows you intimately. The deepest recesses of your heart are laid bare to the good shepherd. He knows you. See, a shepherd, when they came in for the day, when they came into that sheepfold, through that door we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he examined each one of his sheep. He looked at their feet, made sure their hooves were okay. He pulled burrs from their side. He checked their eyes, their mouths. He looked over them. A good shepherd does the same thing. He examines you. He knows those hidden sins. He knows your deepest hurts. He knows if you are prone to wander and where you so desperately need to feel love. And he alone can hold us close and provide relief for all that ails us. This good shepherd that died on a cross for us is that close. And you need him that close. Because even under his protection and in his provisions of plenty, you will struggle in this world. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." What that says is that God does not spare us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't spare us physical death. So sickness may come, jobs may be lost, marital problems may be tearing you apart, children may rebel, loved ones may be taken from us, but through it all, we don't have to fear, we don't have to flee, because the good shepherd is with us. You may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't walk alone. The good shepherd is with you. Just as he told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread from them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Brothers and sisters, though all others abandon you, and you have no one to turn to, you can turn to the Good Shepherd, and he will be there walking, guiding, providing, defending. He will be with you wherever you go. And I'm going to end right here. There's another point, but we're going to end right here with a verse 2 of "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." It says, "Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee." Only the Good Shepherd walks with you this way. Only Jesus will protect you forever, provide you with plenty, and keep you in close proximity to Him throughout every good day and bad day for all eternity. Do you see the fullness of this gift that He gives us in calling us His flock? Do you rejoice that you have this good Savior? Do you understand His grace and that He calls you by name? Despite your wickedness, despite your sinfulness, despite your self-righteousness, He calls you by name. And I hope you are rejoicing today that you are loved this much. And I hope you live boldly as one of Christ's sheep. And if you've heard His voice today for the first time, if you hear Him calling, "Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you know today that that voice is calling you, that you need the Good Shepherd, won't you repent and come into His flock? Won't you join Him and rest in the benefits that become with knowing the Good Shepherd? Let us pray. Glorious Father, thank you for the Good Shepherd. Thank you for the provisions, for the protection, for the plenty and for that close proximity that we have with you now and forever. Father, build your flock. Build your kingdom. Allow us to thrive. A good flock reproduces. I pray, Father, that you will bless this flock to continue to reproduce, continue to make disciples where we live, work, play, and learn, Father. That you will continue to bless us, that more and more may come to know the Good Shepherd as his flock goes out and tells them who he is. We love you, Father. We rejoice in you. To all glory be your name. Amen.